everything you've had so far. And Friday, you can't hide. Amen? If we have to come to you row by row, somebody says, Pastor, what if I don't come? We'll come to your house. Somebody will appear and say, take my... You can now sleep again after I prophesy. But you must come. Hallelujah. Because this is the will of God for us. Amen. Hallelujah. Lovely song. Lovely song. Amen. So, when are you going to sing your own song? When are you going to sing your own song? Friday. Beautiful. So, we have heard you. We have heard you. We have recorded it. They are going to sing your song on Friday. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're trying to... Well, that's the hallmark of the Spirit of God, that God's word should be simplified as much as possible for our understanding. Hallelujah. God's will is that we know, and by that revelation of knowledge, we're able to walk in the light of all that God has for us. Some of these things have been mystified, and that's one of the reasons why I've been teaching for several Sundays in a row, so that every one of us, there's something about the things of this, is for everyone, everyone, every one of us. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm going to read from verse 4. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. Let me read that again. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. So notice in the New Testament, we thank God for what he has already done. The emphasis of the New Testament is not in what God will do. The emphasis of the New Testament is on what God has done and what the saint will do as a result of what God has done. Hallelujah. So it says, I thank my God on your behalf. Not that he will give you grace, but that he has given you grace by Jesus Christ. Or let's put it this way. By the new birth, you have been graced by God. You cannot be saved or born again and not be graced. To be saved means to be graced. They are synonymous terms. It means something was given you, an equipping, an enablement, which the Bible calls grace, has been given to you, a supernatural enablement by Jesus Christ. That phrase, by Jesus Christ, simply means that's how you were born. You came out of the womb of grace. So everything about you speaks of grace. Say amen. So it says, I thank my God on your behalf, always on your behalf, for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. Verse 5 is a definition of that grace, that in everything, say in everything, you are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge. The word enriched means to be made wealthy. So God's wealth has been expressed to the believer in all utterance and in all knowledge. This is chapter 1, 1 Corinthians. Last week we looked at chapter 14. And then Paul is building a case step by step. So before you get to chapter 14, it tells you why he's making a demand in chapter 14. It tells in chapter 1 why he's making a man in chapter 14. So he's building them up gradually, leading them to certain truths before he now says, these are the instructions of what God expects you to do when you come together. Hallelujah. So again, verse 5 says, that in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and in all, say, I have all utterance, I have all knowledge, I've been enriched, made wealthy in Christ Jesus. I am a believer, and being a believer means I've been made wealthy with all utterance. So there is no such thing as a believer who doesn't have utterance. Put your hand here. Look at Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. Mark 16 and verse 15. Are you there? Mark 16 verse 15. It says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Next verse. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall... He that believeth not shall be damned. Next verse, verse 17. And these signs, these indicators, shall follow them that what? Believe. In my name. They shall what? Cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Notice in that verse, these signs shall follow them that believe or the believing ones. Let me ask you a question. Who is a believing one? Who is a believing one? Who is a believing one? A saint, isn't it? So if you are a believing one, are you saved? Are you saved? So the signs shall follow those who are saved. In my name shall they cast out devils. Now stop. One of the challenges we have with reading scriptures is that we try to rationalize the truth based on our experiences. In my name shall they cast out devils means that by believing, you are baptized into my name. By believing, you have been given my authority. By believing, you are one with my dominion. So in my name, shall they. Shall they means that the ability is there, the responsibility is theirs. Let me say that again. In my name shall they. That phrase shall they means the ability is there by the bat. The responsibility is yours. So shall they means you are the one who chooses to cast out devils because you have the ability and chooses not to cast out devils because you don't want to. So in my name shall they is an expression of what God has accomplished already, made you already, which you are meant to live out. So he says, in my name shall they cast out devils. They shall what? Speak with new tongues. Now, this is Jesus speaking after his resurrection. The implication of this is this. Every single believer can speak with tongues. And every single believer should speak with tongues. Now, Jesus didn't say utterance. He said tongues. And as we get into the epistles, we have instructions, clarity, understanding concerning what is Jesus saying when he said they shall speak with new tongues. Hallelujah. So go back to that 1 Corinthians 1 now. 1 Corinthians 1. Again, we're taking it step by step because it's so important that we understand the fact that the responsibility for expressing the Spirit is not that of the Spirit of God, is that of the believer in Christ. See, I'm a believing one in Christ Jesus. I've been enriched by him in all utterance, in all knowledge. Look at the next thing he says to you. He says, verse 6, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, verse 7, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does it mean to be enriched with all utterance? You come behind in no gift. The word come behind means that you are not lacking in any spiritual faculty. So in other words, you cannot have utterance and lack gifts. Utterance is an expression of the gifts that you already received. Let me say that again. You have been enriched by him in all utterance. All utterance means all the ability that God has in Christ has been given to everyone who is in Christ. So if you have been enriched by him in all utterance, it says another way to look at all utterance and all knowledge is that you come behind or you are lacking no spiritual faculty, no spiritual gift. So every single believer has all the nine, so to speak, we call them gifts, but it's really, really not in the scriptures, really. It's just a word that we coined for it, okay? Bible calls it manifestation. And the manifestation is not plural, it's singular. It says the way the Spirit of God expresses himself is in nine ways. Let me give you a clue. The same way in Galatians 5:22 says, and the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. Then joy. Then peace. Then what? So in your normal English, how would you normally define it? It should be the fruits of the Spirit. But it says the fruit of the Spirit is expressed in nine different ways. But that fruit is one. What's that fruit? Love. It now finds the expression in eight other different ways. That's what he's saying. So the same says that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to all men for the profit of all. It's given to all for the profit of all. The manifestation, not manifestations, manifestation. So he's saying the Spirit, that's your recreated Spirit, indwelled by the Spirit of God, expresses spiritual realities in nine ways. Hallelujah. But Paul hasn't said that yet in chapter 1. Is writing an epistle to the Corinthian church, is building up their revelation gradually. So in chapter 1 and verse 6, 7, it says, so that, or because you have been enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, and the testimony of Christ is confirmed in you, the testimony of Christ is his resurrection, has been confirmed in you. Let me say it again. The testimony of Christ here is the fact that he rose from the dead and he's ascended and he's seated. And the proof of Jesus' ascension is not that he ascended, is that you are now saved. Hallelujah. I went for a program last year, and the theme of the program is the empty tomb. And it's a beautiful theme. But the testimony or the proof of Jesus' resurrection is not an empty tomb. It is hearts that are filled. I don't know if you got what I just said. It is hearts that are filled. So he left the tomb empty so that he can live in our hearts. How does he live in our hearts? By the Spirit that he has given us. Amen. So it says the testimony of Christ has been confirmed to you, or his resurrection, his ascension, and his sitting is confirmed in the nature you have received. What is that nature? You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. God doesn't make you a new creation and then give you gifts. The process of becoming a new creation is how you were gifted. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? So the process of becoming a new creation is the same process by which you were enriched by him, or you were made wealthy. The Bible calls you a joint heir with Christ. A joint heir means there is an inheritance to share. That inheritance is a testimony to what Jesus has accomplished on the cross. And on the third day, where he rose again and he ascended. That's what he's saying. So he says, you come behind in no gift. What is he calling no gift? He says, you have been enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge. And the utterance and knowledge is the testimony of Christ confirmed. Or the utterance is a testimony that Jesus is risen from the dead and is ascended and is seated. So it says, by extension, what that means is this. You come behind, or you're lacking in no spiritual faculty or gift or enablement. Say, I come behind in no gift. All the gifts of the Spirit find expression in and through me. Now, Paul now begins to teach us, how do you get those things into expression? And I said something last week that's important. When we look at the teaching ministry of Peter in the book of Acts, what we find is Peter telling us the God side of the equation. Look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Let's read verse 33 first, then we'll move to verse 38. Acts chapter 2, verse 33. Therefore, he's talking about Jesus. Okay? Therefore, this Jesus, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having what? Received of the Father, the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has what? Shed for this, which you now see and hear. Seeing and hearing is activity. Peter is explaining the activity they saw in the early church. The activity you are seeing is because of what Jesus has shed forth. He's about to explain to them that the fact that the saints have received the Spirit. So the people came around on the day of Pentecost. They saw activity that they couldn't understand nor explain. So Peter says, what you are now seeing and hearing is because of what Jesus shed forth. The word shed forth means to empty out. That means that once given, there is nothing left to give from the source. That's serious. That's the same word that Peter used when he was teaching them about the prophecy of Joel in verse 17, when he says that it shall come to pass in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. The word pour, the word shed for, they mean the same thing. It means to empty out, to give in a way that there's nothing left to give. Say, I have all the Holy Ghost and I can have. Hallelujah. So look at verse 8 now. Look at what Peter said. And Peter said unto them, repent and be one. Baptize every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for what? The remission of sins. And you shall receive what? The gift of the Holy Ghost. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Peter spoke to us about how God gives. How does God give? Freely. He doesn't find fault. But Paul's emphasis in the epistles is that now that you know that God has given freely, not only has he given freely, he has endowed you or made that gift inside of you a faculty that never goes away. That's what Paul told us. Look at Romans chapter 11, verse 29. Romans 11, 29. This is important when it comes to expressing things of the Spirit. If you don't understand this aspect, you will not understand the instructions we're given in the epistles. We're going to get to 1 Corinthians 14 soon. If you understand these principles, you'll be able to unravel the instructions and act accordingly. Look at what it says. For the one gift and one calling of God are without. What's another word for without repentance? God never changes his mind. Once given, is never withdrawn. How is he given? By new birth. I will say this and I will leave it. If the gift and calling of God are without what? Repentance. Let me ask you a question. Is the new birth a gift? Is the new birth a gift? Did you qualify for it? How did you receive it? By faith. So we can say the new birth is a gift, isn't it? If the new birth is a gift, and the gift and calling of God are without repentance, which that means it never changed his mind, it will never withdraw. Why is it so difficult for people to believe that salvation is eternal? The one who has control over it will never withdraw it. Why are you bothering yourself about losing it? I don't know if you get my argument. He will never withdraw it. He's in control. It is his gift. He's the one that should be bothered about how you handle it. Then he says, I won't change my mind. Why? Because your action or inaction was not involved in the giving of the gift to start with. So your actual inaction cannot control whether the gift is yours or not. Moreover, it's a birth. If a child says today, you are no longer my father, you still can't divorce yourself from the DNA that's inside of you. Yes or no? Say, I've got DNA inside me. I'm born after his spirit. I'm born of his spirit. So his nature is my nature. You may misbehave. You may walk away. And even as you are walking away, you are carrying nature within you as you are going. Okay. But that's what. But he says, but the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. So say, the gift of God within me will never go away. They are in me as a living faculty. They stay in me forever. What I do with the gift is my responsibility. So the instructions in the epistles are to let you know, what do you do with the spiritual faculty? I want you to think about it. You have the word of knowledge where you're seated. You have the working of miracles where you're seated. You have the gifts of healings where you're seated. You have the word of wisdom where you're seated. You have designing of spirits where you're seated. You have the gift of special faith where you're seated. Because you don't have the spirit in measures. It's either you have the spirit or you don't have the spirit. So since you have the spirit, it comes with the full package. It doesn't come in half measures. It's not that Sister Bola has word of knowledge. I only have prophecy. It is not two spirits. It's one spirit. How does he give you all the gifts? He enriches you with all utterance and all knowledge. That's how he gives it to you. So why does he give you just utterance? Simply because that's how the gifts are transferred. What does he expect you to do with all utterance? You respond to the utterance by speaking. What happens when you respond? You will discover that all the faculties are inside of you. That's how it works. Hallelujah. So he says, you are enriched mind with all utterance. You come behind, you know, you are not lacking in any spiritual faculty. Somebody says, but this brother expresses this more and more. It's because that brother has given himself over to those things. Hallelujah. For instance, there are people among us who are given to singing. You may not be able to raise the key. It's okay. There are other things you can raise. Amen. You may not be given to singing naturally. Do you know people who are not given to dancing naturally? How many of you know that? Okay. Some people are not giving dancing. And some people are giving to much dancing. In fact, if you play music where they are not aware that their legs are shaking as they are talking to you. Have you not seen them before? It's anywhere they are. It's almost involuntary. They are like that. And some people play the best music. You're all looking at you. They are the ones you don't focus on doing praise and worship because you will not be encouraged. Hallelujah. Now, it doesn't mean what is being the leading of the worship is not blessing them. It just means they don't show it outwardly. If you are ever around the person who pastored me, you'll be discouraged though. Because the most exciting thing we do is praise God. That's all. And they keep walking up and down. And everybody's already shouting at them, just and continue. So you can't tell whether he's being blessed by his action. You have to understand who he is to know that he will express it another way. But when he chooses to dance in the spirit, you will know he's excited. Hallelujah. Do you understand? So, the grace is the same for everyone. The expression is not the same for everyone. Why? Expression is your responsibility. Grace is God's gift. Say, I'm engraced by God in Christ Jesus. That grace finds expression through me by my desire. Good. So that's what we want to look at today. 1 Corinthians 2 now. So that's 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians 2, Paul re-emphasizes. See what he says. Verse 12. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. Are you there? Now we have what? Received. Say, I have received. Not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that I want freely given to us of God. Verse 13. Which things also we speak. So now we have received. Now you have been endowed. Now you have been given. Now you have been enabled. How were you enabled? By the spirit which is of God. Or you have been given the very nature of God. Hallelujah. Look at John chapter 14. Because in the scriptures, in the epistles, you see the word spirit used interchangeably, and you have to read it contextually to know which spirit is he talking about. John chapter 14 verse 16. Quickly. And I will pray the Father. This is Jesus speaking about his work of redemption. I will go to the cross. Okay. I will come back again to you. So step by step from verse 1, he began to explain to them. This is a chapter where you find that famous verse. In my Father's house, there are many what? Mansions. And where I go to pray a place for you. If we're not so, I would not have told you. That's verse 2. So here is, come. There's a thought that's proceeding. Look at verse 4. It says, I will pray the Father. When will he pray the Father? When he rises from the dead. And he shall give you another Comforter, that he may what? Abide with you for how long? For how long? Look at the next verse. Even the spirit of truth or the spirit of reality. The spirit of reality. It says, even the spirit of reality, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you. Stop. And I said something last week. When you read that part, it dwells with you. That takes in the ministry of Jesus, his earthly ministry on the earth in those days, number one. The ministry of Moses, the ministry of David, the ministry of Hezekiah, the ministry of Ezekiel and Isaiah stops at it dwelt with them. Go. The Spirit of God was with them. But what Jesus says, the last part, is the distinction between us and them. He says, it dwells with you and shall be where? In you. Every time you see the word in you in the New Testament, it's speaking about nature, or you'll be one with you. So it took the Spirit of God meshing with your spirit for you to be saved. So we call it the indwelling of what? Of the Spirit. Let me say it another way. You cannot speak of salvation without the indwelling. The indwelling is salvation. Say amen. Let me say it again. The indwelling and you being born again are not separate experiences. You were indwelled by God's Spirit. That's why you are what? Born again. Say amen. Let me put it another way. You being indwelled by God's Spirit is you having God's DNA. So we cannot separate God's Spirit from your spirit again, because that's how the nature or the new nature came inside of you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you understand? Is that clear? So if to be born again means to be indwelled by the Spirit, and to have the Spirit means you have the manifestations of the Spirit, and to have manifestation means you come behind in no gift, and to come behind in no gift means you have all utterance, it means that right now within your spirit, which is indwelled by God's Spirit, is all of the gifts of the Spirit resident. I mean, if you understand that so far. Is that clear so far? Should I go over it again? Should I go over that again? Look at verse 17 again. Even the spirit of reality. Let me pause. Reality here is Jesus saying, there are things that will take place when I go to the cross on your behalf, when I spend time in hell on your behalf, when I rise on the third day on your behalf, when I ascend and sit on the Father's right hand. That reality will be confirmed by the new birth. How will you have the new birth? There's a spirit that you will receive, a nature you will be given to show that all this has been accomplished. You can't have that nature unless all this is accomplished. So reality here is a reference to all that Jesus accomplished from the cross to the throne. Hallelujah. Do you understand? So if I accomplish all this, you will have the new birth. If I don't accomplish this, you won't have the new birth. So when you have the new birth, what you have is the spirit of reality. What's the reality? Christ is seated at the Father's right hand. Amen. Amen. Is that clear? Is that simple enough? So even the spirit of truth, so why can't the world receive? It can't see nor know, or they are limited to the senses. How are you operating? By faith. How many of you have seen the spirit of God before? Red trousers, green shirt, brown hat, gray shoes. Even you will run. You've never seen him. How come you know you have him? The testimony of the scriptures. Hallelujah. Do you know the utterance you have is not why you know you have the Holy Ghost? It's a testimony of scriptures. That what God has said, he has done. Hallelujah. And that's what pleases God. So he says, because he sees nothing alone, but you know him. Say, I know him. For he dwells with you and shall be in you. So every time you see the word in, is referring to nature. Say, he dwells in me now. I have the nature of God now. I'm a son of God now. I'm a joint heir with Christ Jesus now. Hallelujah. So go with me to chapter 14 now. I said all that before we get into chapter 14 so we can see. Go to chapter 12 briefly. Verse 1. Chapter 12 verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you what? Ignorant. So again, remember, he started building them from chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. He now says in chapter 12, concerning things of the Spirit. The word spirituals is things of the Spirit. What? Things of which Spirit? Things that belong to your recreated spirit. Somebody says, can I say things of the Holy Ghost? Yes, you are right. Why are we saying the things of your recreated spirit? Because your spirit has been meshed with the Holy Ghost. Is the Holy Ghost separate? Yes. Is it dwelling in your spirit? Yes. So you say things of the Spirit or things that the Holy Ghost has enabled your spirit to do because of that union. Say amen. Is that clear? So it's now concerning things of the Spirit, brethren, I would not have you what? Ignorant. So a believer having the faculty, because he is born again, has all the gifts, has all utterance, can be ignorant about the expression of things of the Spirit. I said something last week. If you come from a white garment background, it's likely your mindset about the things of the Spirit will be that something should suddenly come upon you. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And if there is no sensation, you will not yield. But the Bible, the epistles, do not teach us to wait for something to happen. It says we are meant to make things happen. Say amen. That's important. It says, now concerning things of the Spirit, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. I don't want you to think based on experience. I want you to think based on the testimony of God's word. What's that testimony? He has enriched you with all utterance. That means that since you are now enriched and the ability of God is a faculty within you, you are the one responsible for how it is expressed. He now says you are not to depend on the senses, you are to depend on the testimony of God's word. So he says, I don't want you to be ignorant. Look at verse 2. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 2. Quickly. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto this door by us, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking. What is common to all men, every man can speak. What else is common to all men? All men can be inspired. But he's now making a distinction. Because I'm giving you an understanding of things of the Spirit, in the line of that understanding, I want you to know, no man who is speaking by the inspiration of the Spirit of God will ever say in their prophecy, Jesus is accursed. Hallelujah. That's a huge step, really. Because what he's saying is this, the content of what men will say, if the testimony of Jesus is confirmed in them, because they have been given all utterance, it will never be contrary to what Jesus has accomplished. Let me say that again. What you say in prophecy must line up with the testimony of Jesus in the scriptures. Because the Spirit you have received, you receive because Jesus has accomplished salvation on your behalf. Say amen. So when a man is prophesying, why does prophecy bless men? Number one, because whatever you say when you are prophesying has to do with what Jesus has accomplished. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We have expatiated more on Friday. Prophecy does not have to carry revelation. That's one of the challenges we got from white garment churches. So when we ask you to go and meet someone, you want to also reveal something. And if you press long enough, you will. By the spirit of suspicion. You understand? Because we think prophecy means revelation. No. Prophecy is for edification, exhortation, and comfort. What's prophecy? Inspired utterance. Who can give prophecy? All believers. What are you going to say? What will edify and comfort the saints? Can you also give revelation? Yes. Must you give revelation? No. Prophecy is not the same as revelation gives in operation. Revelation gives to reveal something. Prophecy doesn't necessarily reveal anything. Prophecy just encourages, strengthens, and comforts the hearer. Hallelujah. That's what it just does. That's why prophecies, the same spirit behind psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, is the same spirit of prophecy. What will it do? It will encourage you. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be what? Afraid. What that psalm simply means is this. This is already a reality. You are being reminded of the reality you have. What will happen as a result? You are not encouraged. Why was it spoken to you? You were fearful. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I just said? So a prophecy is for edification, which is exhortation, which also ministers what? Comfort. That's what it is. So when we say go and prophesy, don't think we are saying go and reveal something. What is available to all believers? The ability to all prophesy. In some people, revelation gives an operation. Look at 1 Corinthians 12. I didn't plan to go in this direction, but then 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 4, quickly. Now there are what? Diversities of gifts, but the same, say same spirit. Say the same spirit I have expresses himself in diverse ways. Look at next verse. There are differences of what? Administrations, but the same Lord. Administration is the same word for ministry. There are different kinds of ministries, but who calls all of them? The same Lord. Look at next verse. There are diversities of what? Operations, but it is the same God which what? Worketh all in all. So verse 4 says same spirit. Verse 5 says same Lord. Verse 6 says same God. So let's look at it this way. There are diverse ways the Spirit of God, through you and I, will express himself. But don't forget, everything proceeds from the same Spirit that we all have. Say amen. There are different ministries we have, but we all serve the same Lord. Verse 6 now says, there are diversities of what? Operations. Now let me explain. What is an operation? An operation is how God consistently uses an individual. That's an operation. Operations don't function by desire. Verse 4 is what functions by desire. Let me say that again. Operations don't come by desire. Verse 4, diversity of gifts is what comes by desire. Say amen. Do you understand? If you understand what you mean, say amen. What is diversity of gifts? The things of the Spirit, which are what we call the nine manifestations. They are diverse. The Spirit is the same. That Spirit is talking about a Spirit we all have. So all of us have what? The nine operations. Nine gifts of the Spirit. Rather. Then verse 6 is talking about operation. Operation is how God expresses the things of the Spirit through you, or the way you are wired by God. That's an operation. That's not a function of desire. Hallelujah. That's not a function of desire. An operation has to do with a call. That's one of the reasons why you notice me saying things like, don't necessarily try to prophesy like a pastor. Because most of the time, what I'm using is what? An operation. So, pay attention, because this is a local assembly, so I will tell you the truth. Sometimes I may call Mr. Makinda, I may call Pastor Tolu. If I want us to start from the basics, what I mean by basics? Well, if I'm not going to use an operation, the basics is tongues, interpretation, prophecy. If I'm going to start by an operation, most of the time when I want to start, because for me it's an operation, I will start with revelation gifts because I have a faculty, I have an operation of that in me. How many of you understand what I'm saying? I just know. So, but when we want to start, we should graduate. Graduate means that from utterance to what? Revelation to what? Power. How many of you understand that? We should build up. How many of you understand that? So, it's not, now as a pastor, I can express all. But it's not compulsory when we are having a meeting that I must express all. I can just call those who have that as an operation or are consistent. You come and start. When you come and start, I will know where to come in so that Christ can be all in all. Hallelujah. Do you understand what you just said? So I call somebody, you start. When you start, we will build up. When you start, somebody else will know what to say next. That's why sometimes the meeting like that is important who starts. Let me say this. Because part of fruit of the Spirit is that learn not to show off. Don't try to be seen when it comes to things of the Spirit. It doesn't really work. You get into the flesh. Don't try to hog the spotlight. I mean, even I'm not like when they give you the mic, we can't collect it again. Till daybreak. I love what's that guy? But I jam you, he's not ready to let go of the mic. We have played music. We've started a song. He still didn't drop the mic. He's still busy prophesying. And we are tired of the prophecy even by now. Don't try to be seen. Okay. Because some of those things you grow. As you grow in the things of God, you start learning. Okay. I went for a meeting. I think during the week, I went for a meeting. I went for that meeting. I'm invited for Holy Ghost meetings. That's my call. That's my assignment. So I go there and minister. So I hardly get an opportunity to sit down and be blessed myself. So somebody else whom I respect, who I have known for over 20 years, was holding a meeting under the auspices of Rema. So I went there with a particular desire to be blessed. Okay? And because we have a relationship, I knew they would likely call me. But I wasn't going there to minister. How many of you understand what I'm saying? Me, I wanted to be blessed. So I went to that meeting. And while the meeting was going on, twice, the person leading the meeting saw me and came towards me to hand me on the mic. Each time, because my desire was to be blessed, the power of God eats me. I didn't collect the mic. The first time, then the second time, I even went in trance. And I heard and saw some things. I got my answer before I left that meeting. I'm sure the man was wondering, why can't this mic for people? Because I sat in front. People were, other people were just grab the mic. Yes, they must know we are here. We are the ones that are called of God. We shout God. Meanwhile, you are there to receive. Then something else happened. While I was there, I'm taking a leap, and I trust you to understand. I will now explain. I had a word that I thought was for them, for the congregation. But because I decided I came to receive, not to stand before them, I mean, even sometimes. The next day, while praying,
in the spirit was when I realized the word I would have given to them was actually meant for me or for church. What was that word? I went there because we have our right to pay. I mean, we have our right to pay. We are in some funds. So the first thing I believe was favor for the landlady. Elder went with me. We had strange favor. We were there for over 2 hours. We were discussing like family friends. That's the first thing that happened. The second thing was that when we were leaving, the Spirit of God now told me, that word you got yesterday wasn't for them, it was for you. What did he say? He said, the same way a parent provides a trust fund in advance, anticipating all the children's needs, I am your father, I have a trust fund for you. Hallelujah. So, one of the things you grow to understand in a meeting that we're going to have on Friday is, you know, when what I receive, is it for everyone or for me? That's part of the growth process. Hallelujah. There are some things that are for you. 1 Corinthians 1, 14, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. Glory to God. Let me say this to you. Money will come to your hands in strange ways. We have had waves of that happening over the years. I want you to make up your mind and consecrate yourself to just give. Money will come to your hands in strange ways. You will get business ideas and contracts in strange ways. I'm speaking to you by the Spirit of God. I know what I'm saying. Because God will prosper you and we will not give. And even the target we have, we're going to exceed it by far. Hallelujah. You see, when you're making a boast, make sure you are boasting because of what God has said. Do you understand? He said it very clearly. When we came to this venue, there was an instruction that came. I'm sure Pastor Tolu remembers. Pastor Jimmy Tolu remembers. He said, there are waters in my reservoir. When you open the water, in fact, let me tell you, I saw a vision. I saw this local clay pot. How many of you know those local clay pots that keeps water cool perpetually, no matter the weather? He now said, when you open the cover, the water that condenses under the lid represents all the resources you have used so far in ministry. Now, get into the water inside the clay pot itself. Of course, that's figure of speech. If you have to understand this way, speak of God. Now, at that time, our finances were in quote, nothing to write home about. We took a leap of 10 times more than we've ever paid in coming here. And it came from that same group of people. We didn't borrow a dime. It came by that specific word that came. Hallelujah. So we're saying that we're not ordinary. We're not ordinary. If all we do just comes from a human effort, we're no different from unbelievers. But we have a father. And our father provides. Our father provides. Our father provides lavishly. Our father provides abundantly. Our father sees to all our needs. Hallelujah. If you are a father in the natural and you know what it means to see your children through life and make sure they have the best, how much more our father? Glory to God. So we are in for a time. And that time has come. Woo! Glory to God. While your hand is stretched for saying, I hope I can get enough to borrow, on the other side will come more than enough that you need to borrow. For they will come on the platter of that which is freely given, another which you need to borrow. For you will enter and swim in dimensions of heavenly resources brought forth by the ministry of angels. So open your heart and say, the money belongs to me. The resources are mine. And I will enjoy abundance this season. For the Father's provision, through the work of my heart, through the goodwill of men, and through supernatural avenues, will come my way. And the Father's good pleasure will be accomplished. And all that he has planned will be done through me. I am a son. I administrate the work of my father. His business in my hands thrive and they prosper. I am one that gives and I give abundantly. For all provision has been made in my favor. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians 4, it says, follow after love and desire spirituals, but rather that you may prophesy. Verse 2, quickly, just read on. For he that speaks in tongues speaks not unto men but unto God, for no man understands him, howbeit in the spirit he speaks mysteries. Next verse. But he that prophesies speaks unto men edification and exhortation and comfort. Verse 4. He that speaks in tongues edifies himself, he that prophesies edifies the church. Verse 5. I would that ye all speak with tongues, but rather that you prophesy. Stop. So verse 5 says, I would that you all, I want all of you to speak with tongues, but rather that you prophesy. Rather is a language of choice. Rather means that I don't want you to stop at tongues. I want you to go ahead to what tongues is meant to effect. Verse 5 becomes clearer in the light of verse 1. What is verse 1? Follow after charity or follow after love. What is love? The revelation of love in your heart will free you to release and express the things of the Spirit. Why are you sometimes afraid when it comes to expressing yourself? Because you are not sure, you are not confident that you have what God says you have. What is revelation of God's love? It means you are fully aware that what He has given you, He has given you. Hallelujah. I know Bible says perfect love cast out fear. So sometimes fear manifests as uncertainty. You are not certain. Certain things will come out, but they will come out because they are already inside of you. Hallelujah. They will. Say, follow after love. Then desire spirituals, but rather that you may prophesy. So in that verse 1, it tells you, as you desire spirituals, let culminate in you prophesying. How do you show you desire spirituals? Verse 2. He that speaks in tongues speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands how be it in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. So a man that is speaking in tongues is expressing desire for spirituals. That's what he's saying. He now says, I want you to express that desire perfectly. How do you do that? But rather that you prophesy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But rather you prophesy. Rather means that this is the exception to the rule. You are meant to push on or press in until you give the same utterance in prophecy. Let me put it this way. What you have is utterance. What God expects to come from you is prophecy. Where do you start from? Utterance. Do you have utterance? Can you speak with tongues? Can you prophesy? So notice you have utterance. You can speak with tongues. What will comfort after your tongues? Prophecy. He now says, I want all of you to speak with tongues, but rather that you prophesy. So he's saying, let the purpose of prophecy be in your heart. What's the purpose? So that others can receive edification. So if the purpose of prophecy is in your heart, you will know how to express prophecy more often, or you release yourself to prophecy. What is prophecy? Saying what you said in tongues in a language that men understand. That's prophecy. Hallelujah. I just prophesied now. How did I prophesy? I spoke with tongues. Will the tongues alone bless you? No, it won't. What did I do? Whatever it is that I communicated to you in tongues, I said in language you understood, it's called prophecy. It says, I would that you all speak with tongues, but rather that you prophesied for, I'm reading verse 5, now verse 5. I would that you all speak with tongues, but rather that you prophesied for greater. Is he that prophesies, than he that what? Speak with tongues, except he. Who is he? He that spoke with tongues. He should what? Prophesy instead. How will he prophesy? He will interpret whatever it is he said in tongues. What will happen when he does that? He will edify the whole church. He already told you in verse 3. Look at verse 3. Look at verse 3 quickly. But he that prophesies speaks unto men, edification, exhortation, and what? Comfort. Verse 4. But he that speaks in tongues edifies who? Himself. So, if I'm going to walk in love, whenever I'm speaking in tongues, who am I edifying? Who am I speaking to? To God. Who am I edifying the process? Myself. When I prophesy, who am I edifying? The church. So, I'm of greater benefit when I'm prophesying because of the audience. In verse 3 and verse 4 and verse 5, it is the audience that changes. The speaking is the same. The spirit is the same. The utterance is the same. The source is the same. Let me back up that a little bit. I have utterance. I can speak with tongues. If I speak with tongues, I'm speaking to God. I'm designing spirituals. I'm making sense in the spirit. I'm speaking mysteries. Say amen. If I interpret what I said, I have moved the circumference or the edification from just me to others who are what? Present. So he now says, moving it from the circumference of just you to others is a function of desire. So let me put it this way. If you are coming on Friday and your mindset is, I am going to prophesy to 5 people. The Bible says, you want to walk in love. That's what you are doing. You want to be a blessing to others. How will you start? You speak with tongues. When you start with tongues, who are you speaking to? To yourself and to God. Who is getting blessed? You. What do you want to do with what you have been saying? You want to bless others. How do you do that? By desire. or desire that the same way you spoke out that utterance, you can do something with your utterance, you can turn it to prophecy. How will it become prophecy? You interpret whatever it is that you have what you have said. Now, I said something last week. Many of us think to interpret is more difficult than to speak. To speak in tongues is more difficult than to interpret. One gives substance to the other. If you don't have an account, you can't withdraw. Even if you go to the bank with a very hard face, the first question is, what's your name? Account number. I don't have an account, but I still want money. If they press button behind you, security will just come quietly. If you are very polite, say, gentlemen, we'd like to see you outside. That's the polite way of saying get out. If you listen. So there's first an account, then you make a withdrawal, isn't it? He's saying that when you speak with tongues, your tongues contains things that you want to give to people. When you are saying it in tongues alone, you are giving all those things to yourself alone. When you interpret, you are now deciding to give some of those things which you have been giving to yourself to others. It's a function of choice. So, verse 1 is how you interpret verse 2 all the way to verse 14 in 1 Corinthians 14. What does it say in verse 1? Follow charity. Desire spirituals. But rather that you would prophesy. So, rather is whose responsibility? God's responsibility or your responsibility? Hallelujah. Again, if you are coming from one garment setting, you are waiting for something to happen. If I give you the mic now, come and prophesy. Can you prophesy? You notice that Joseph's behaving. If I say yes now, they just come and call me. The problem is that because you are not saying yes, is why I will call you. Can you prophesy? Yes. Someone is still looking at. You are still waiting for something to happen. No, something has already happened. Jesus has risen from the dead. You are already born again. A spirit is living inside of you. Do you have utterance? Does utterance go or does it stay in you? Do you have the indwelling of the Spirit? Do you have the Spirit of God? Do you have the nature of God? Do you have the testimony of Christ? The utterance is always there. If utterance is always there, how do you test it? Can you speak with tongues? Speak with tongues. Let me hear you. One, two, go. Stop, stop, stop. I didn't say whisper in tongues. I said speak. No, I said speak in tongues. Speak means you will hear what you are saying. Let me show you something. Look at verse 27. That's a jump, but let me just show you the question. See what it says. If any man speak in tongues, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by cause, and let one interpret. We're going to practice that on Friday. Let me explain what that means. If any man speak, any man simply means if people come up, they want to minister, and the way they will start ministering is that they will come with an utterance in tongues. So if any man speak in tongues, let it be by two or three, or let us entertain. Only two or three people who come with an utterance in tongues at one time. Let it be by cause, let it be one by one. And let one interpret. Do you see that? So the reason why we allow the first one, the second one, the third one, is because when the first one came, somebody interpreted what he said. We are not going to move to the next one until that first one has been what? Interpreted. Do you understand? This is a church meeting. This is a church meeting. So let one interpret. Look at the next verse, verse 28. If there be no interpreter, let him, who is him? The one who is speaking in tongues. Do what? Where? Does it say the person should keep silence? Should the person keep silent? Should the person keep silent? No. Read it very well. The person should not keep silent. The person should keep silence concerning addressing the church. Don't miss that part. The person who doesn't have an interpretation should keep silent as far as addressing the church is what? Concerned. But they should continue speaking to himself and to God. Let me tell you why. Because sooner or later, he will have the interpretation. Hallelujah. He's telling you when you have the utterance, you don't have interpretation yet. What should you do? Keep speaking. It's not wrong to keep speaking to yourself. Utterance should always be expressed. Utterance does not always have to be expressed towards the church. Utterance means your spirit man is giving something. If it's in tongues, it's giving those things to you. If you have enough desire to express to other people, you will take what has been given to you and use it to bless others. And it's a deliberate act on your part. Let me demonstrate. I'm coming to him and I'm going to obey verse chapter 14, verse 6. I will read verse 6 after I minister to him. Okay? So listen to me as I minister to him. Okay? Now, I don't have anything in my mind about him. Because what I'm going to say to him is not coming from my mind. It's coming from where? It's coming from where? So, question is this. Will the Spirit of God that has enabled me with utterance have something to minister at all times? Yes. The question is, will I yield to what he wants to say? That's the question. The question is not whether God will do. It is whether I will yield to what I know God will do. If you understand what I'm saying. Okay, so it takes faith to step out. Your problem is that before you leave yourself, you say, what will I say? 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 And then fear will now rob you of what you're making. Then you do nothing at all. That's what happens. That's how we rob ourselves of flowing with the Spirit. Because you are too full of yourself. Too much self-consciousness. What if I miss it? What if the grammar is not right? Which grammar? You want to hear prophecy, not grammar. So you don't fulfill your head with those thoughts because they will inner you. What do you do? You have utterance. You ought to express your utterance. You ought to use the utterance word, bless someone. So if I come to him speak with tongues, what will I do? He's standing in front of me or sitting in front of me. And you know, grew step then, yelashtia, ezuzubro near kia, kelugrun isibrodishte. Looks as though the walls are closing. But then you came out on top, even last year, specifically around the month of June. This time last year, you came out. Then, Ileno Kurieste Liga Shike, Esuzu Bruce Devrike Liga Dishteke, news that will cause the heart to be afraid came in your direction to rob you of the little faith that you had left until you thought, maybe it's not possible. Maybe this is how it will be forever, but it won't be. For the victory I won for you is yours. It's yours to have to hold. It's yours to enjoy. It's yours to make a mockery of the enemy. It's yours to use to dispel all the lies he has said, for he's lying because you have the truth. Remember, you are the truth, and lie cannot work concerning your affairs. So rejoice and sing, because closer to you than you think is a victory that has been obtained for you on the cross. That victory will banish works of darkness. That victory will open you up to dimensions of favor. And this is that season of favor. Favor before men. Favor before those who called and stopped calling. And they will call again. And call again. And give you recognition again. And things will work again. Hallelujah. Now, when I was saying that, I sensed in my heart that I needed to hear that. But I didn't know all the things I said until I started speaking. So here's the clue. If you don't start speaking, you don't have anything to bless. Two people are learning from what you are saying. The person you are addressing and you that you are saying it. How many of you want to just know? You that you are saying it. The challenge is that you have to start. Tell your neighbor, start. Say, please start. Please. I'm begging you. Start. Don't hide my blessing. You know, that's how they say in those churches. Whoever is stopping your blessing. Oh, my father, my father. All right. But what I'm saying is the same. That you are holding on to something that God wants to use to enrich another, to comfort others. The comfort of the saint is not in heaven. The strength of the saint is not just above. Above is where the saints are seated. For by the same spirit that indwells man, we now see precious things coming out of perishable containers. So from you, we sound out the Father's embrace and comfort. From your heart, we flow forth the rivers that will quench every thirst in lives of men. So yield yourself to those rivers and speak a word in season that will push men from the area of calamity and depression into the fullness of the Father's joy. Yield yourself, therefore, in these days to more and more of what the Spirit has to give. For the Spirit gives of the victory that Christ accomplished on the cross already. So he that is seated laughs in all situations. Out of that laughter will proceed instructions and directions that will bring men out of the climate of the enemy's lies into the truth of the Father's love. So speak and don't stop speaking. For as you speak, more is given. As you speak, more is released. As you speak, more is revealed. And as it is revealed, the power of the Most High goes into operation and releases all that has been spoken into manifestation. Speak, speak, for your speaking is how the angels of God go into operation. For there are funds to be provided. For there are provisions to be made. For there is assistance to be rendered. For there is protection to be received. So speak and keep speaking. And that which the Spirit has in mind will come to light. Because you, precious saints, have decided to speak. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now we can continue on and on from one person to the other. You don't have to speak the way I speak. I have my slant. That is me. You have your slant. That is you. What is common to us? Same spirit.
Hallelujah.
Same spirit. Testifying of the same Lord. Glory to God. That's a, now, what I did to him is in verse 6, not verse 5. Look at verse 6. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with what? What shall I? Ike, when I was speaking with tongues, did you receive any profiting from it? When I interpreted, were you blessed? Was I accurate in the things I said? Now, pay attention. Don't try to do revelation. I did revelation. You heard me mention the month of June last year. I mean, so I knew that by revelation. You don't have to be like that. If it comes, it comes. If it doesn't come, don't manufacture it. Don't manufacture. I'm just begging. Don't manufacture. Mm-hmm. Okay, don't manufacture. Because I've seen people, they say, well, in the next 7 days, you are not Elisha. Okay. You don't say this. Don't put it. Just what? Prophecy is for education, what? Exposition and comfort. Stay with that. Then you're on safe ground. More will come as you continue. More will come as you continue. As I'm looking at him now, I'm hearing things. I'm talking about Mr. Ido. I'm hearing things. Now, I can decide to say it to him or not say it. I may not be fully clear about what I'm hearing. How do I become clear? I switch to the language that brings about all clarity. I switch to tongues. Tongues makes whatever is unclear clear. Then not only that, a minister's boldness to me to express what God wants him to hear. Scrambling for positions. Even scrambling for relocation. But you are not among those who scramble. You are among those who receive freely what the Father has given. For you are led at all times. And he's with you. And he's for you. And he supports you in all you do. So you don't have to seek his assistance. His assistance is yours. You are your Father's son. Boast in it at all times. Boasting at all times. So when uncertainty comes, still boast. I am my Father's son. I have answers all the time. My path is different from their paths. I am led at all times. I am guided. My days are in his hands. Hallelujah. Does that make any sense to you? Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, as you poly English, the Leo Sugratia Nekite, a Kugro Celebrati Legigi, she grows the Vrinikina, Ganzu Suko Prakati Kili Galas. Oh, Katilesia Tukosuko. Oh, not everything has to come by struggling. Delays, yeah, delays. Sometimes come the way they are. Then the enemy uses delay to reinforce a lie and say, everything about your life is a struggle, but it's not. It's not. There's the ease of the master. There's the ease of his salvation. For things will work faster than before. And the struggles will be no more. And victory will manifest. And answers will come. And the next 6 months will make a lie of all the challenges that have come before. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Dancing in the shadows. Seeing a little light. Enjoying the light and saying, look what the Lord has done. I'm talking to you. For where you are is not the full light. It's just a better aspect of the shadow. But the light is coming. The light is coming. In that light, your dancing will increase. You will see the previous one that you celebrated as another shadow. But the light comes. The light comes. And it brings a full supply with it. The light comes. You will dance fully in the light. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, as you yield, as we all yield, he says, if I come unto you speak with tongues, what shall I profit you? What shall I profit means that, why should I keep it at tongues when that won't do anything to you? I may get excited, but you won't receive anything. What am I meant to do? He says, what shall I profit you? Except I shall speak to you either by what? Revelation or by knowledge or by prophesy. Now, I did the first three. I didn't do the last one, teaching, doctrine. When I came to him and I moved to her and I moved to him, my most of it was by revelation, isn't it? So now, but it started by what? Tongues. So if you don't have substance, what are you going to open up or explain or interpret? That's how it works. So you already have utterance. Say, I have utterance. I have what to give to my neighbor, to other saints, already in me. I will express it and be given to everyone I meet that which the Spirit has fully supplied. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So it's so simple. You need help to miss it. You won't have that help. It's so simple. You need struggle. Again, don't be full of too much thinking when you are flowing with the Spirit. Your tongue is hooked up to your spirit, not hooked up to your head. Don't forget that. Every time you speak with tongues, know that the God is letting you know, son, you just hooked up your tongue to your spirit. What is in your spirit? Every good thing that God has done in Christ is in your spirit. And to prove it, he has given you gifts. The word of knowledge is within you now. The word of wisdom is within you now. The sign of spirit is within you now. You know, when I gave that instruction earlier on about the Father's provision, I saw angels speeding up and down the aisle. The activity increased tremendously. Why? On behalf of the saints. And so on Friday, you will see the activity of angels. Oh, you will see the activity increased. For sons will take their place. Saints will stand in their office. We'll embrace that which we are given. We'll give expression. The angels will receive instruction and direction. And with tremendous power, they'll go about to bring manifestation of all that the Father has blessed us with. Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he says, if I come unto speak with us, what shall I profit you? Except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine. He just told you what your tongues can contain. And on Friday, we're going to go to verse 26 on Friday. But he says, these are the things that your tongue can... He's talking about one-on-one. Before he now says, when we all come together, every one of you. So he speaks about you and this other person. The first few verses, one or two or three people. Then he moves to the whole congregation. And this is what we can all do. We all have utterance. Say, we all have utterance. We can all speak. So speaking is a hallmark of the new creation. You and I can speak in tongues. We all can. We have believers who have never spoken, but we don't have believers who can't speak. There's no such thing. Every believer can speak. Let me say something that's important. What you do with utterance is up to you, not up to God. What you do with utterance is up to who? In Acts chapter 2, the Bible says in verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them what? Utterance. Then when people came around, people heard them speak about the wonderful works of God. Then in verse 14, Peter stood up and used the same utterance to teach and lead many to Christ. What was Peter using? The same utterance. The same utterance. Not another, the same utterance. Peter used the same utterance to lead many to Christ. Hallelujah. By preaching the gospel. So you are the one who is responsible for what you do with utterance. Utterance is what God supplies. What you do with utterance is your responsibility. Hence Paul says, desire. Follow after love, desire spirituals. So when I'm speaking in tongues, I'm desiring. When I'm prophesying, I'm desiring even much more. So tongues should let you know there's more from where that came from. Glory to God. Let's speak in tongues one more time. One, two, go. Oh, ho, ho. Oh, Zavradia la gaste gista. Hey, Ekakula gastile giste kiste soto. Ezo so brada kalaste, ezo nangle kechio. Eshibro da gatile gatse. Kesukrata la gaste. Ezuso zobrosta vranan keligiste. Esokula gali gelishte. Stop. How many of you, when you started speaking, some things rose up on the inside of you? Let me see that. Some things, let me see that. Now, you know, some people. There's nobody here that something didn't rise up. You were not conscious of it. So you are going to pray again now. This is how you'll be conscious of it. You're going to speak again. When I say be conscious, that means that put your attention on what you are saying. Then you'll be sensitive to if something rises up. Why am I saying that? This is practice. You are becoming aware. If I'm speaking with tongues and tongues of my spirit, if it's of my spirit, it means there are activities in my spirit that are going on when I'm speaking. Yes or no? Yes or no? So, activities in my spirit, which is the unseen part of me, so to speak, start going on. Those activities have become more conscious as I speak in the language of my spirit, which is tongues. So, if I focus my attention that there are activities going on and I will be aware, some things will rise up on my inside when I start speaking. So, when I start speaking, for instance, now, when I was speaking earlier and I was trying to turn around to come to the pulpit, I saw him. And when I saw him, I knew I should say something to him. Do I fully know what I'm going to say to you? No. I'm like trying to let you know that if I wasn't speaking, I wouldn't have picked up for that I ought to what? How many of you know what I just said? Okay. So, well, I just hear all that steps, for staying where you are for so long, saying, how will I transit? Is a legitimate question. But the answer is other steps. Other steps. Stay in fellowship. Stay and walk with me. And I will order. And a single step will be a quantum leap. And to move you into the things I spoke for to you in time past. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So when we begin to speak, let me put it this way. Where you are seated right now, there are spiritual realities waiting for you to express by speaking. So let me put it another way. If you don't speak, will we see those realities? Are they here? Are they here? Let me ask, are the angels here this morning? How many angels are here this morning? Have you seen them? How do you know they are here? The testimony of God's word. So there are things we do when we start speaking. Speaking is activation, so to speak. It means you are now becoming conscious.
Somebody cut here, stomach, grava, DSC, subrocopa, lega da broven, and a DSS, subrocobra, but a vidi stomach cut here, susuprocomananda, DSC. Learn to quiet your mind and let your mind listen all to the ability of God that you speak forth. So that the anger de peres sifra namanda asuso, so that your mind can wrap itself around the reality of God's word. And then you will see an improvement in the utterances that you speak out.
Did you get that part? Did you get that part? Okay, so part of being led by the Spirit is to know when instructions come for another person to speak. My role on Friday is to act as an interpreter. I'll just stand, interpret, I'll just sit down. You will get up, you will do the work. Amen? I'm a conductor, not bus conductor, conductor. Hallelujah. I mean, I'll stand as an interpreter, and then allow you guys to flow. Then what will bless us will come from you. Tell anybody to come from you. What will bless us on Friday will come from you. Must come on Friday. You must come on time. Don't be late. God is never late. Don't be late. Be a blessing to me and to others. Listen, whenever you express utterance and we receive it, you are learning. We are learning. We are getting blessed by what you have released and expressed. Guess what? You also are getting blessed. Then something else happens, which each time you allow yourself to yield to God, more boldness is developed. How many of you know that? Become more bold. Become more bold. Maybe on Friday we discuss the fact that there are teams, ministry teams. And I went to a meeting recently that I gave a word of wisdom concerning God's plans for the body about ministry teams. That is, there are people, they tag team when it comes to things of the ministry. In Acts chapter 3, we see Peter and John at the beautiful gate. We see Peter and John in Acts chapter 8 again. When Samaria received the word of God, they sent them down to lay hands. Obviously, Peter and John are a ministry team. Obviously, they both function together, likely in tongues and interpretation. So they were ministry team. So they are ministry teams. That is, they are people you flow well together with. That's one of the things a believer is supposed to discover. In 1997, I remember there was a particular brother who is my namesake. He will have an utterance in tongues. He won't give it until I come. He just believes that when he sees me, I will have interpretation. And he won't give it until I come. We used to do some very interesting things those days, which is somebody will have a message in tongues in the morning. I will not deliver it on the living until he sees you. That is, you can hold it until it's time to release it. You can. It's not that it's boiling. Can you have an utterance to give us and we're not acknowledging you? Yes. What can you do? Stay with it until we call you. Or, better still, you can go up to one of the ministers, one of the pastors, and let them know. If they allow you to express it, fine. If they don't allow you to express it, if God wants it to be expressed, there's a way he will signal us. Now, did you hear what Pastor Tolu just said? How many of you hear what he said? Do you know he gave you an instruction concerning what I just told you to do? Now, when you are going to speak next, now what should you do? Pay attention. Pay attention. Did God want him to say it? Yes. You can tell from look on his face that he wasn't expecting that just suddenly. But again, part of the job of Jamia, you become sensitive. So, Captain, get up.
Go and do what you are meant to do.
You have to become bolder in things of the Spirit. You have to become bolder, very bold. Because the faculties of God become strong on your inside when you learn to be bold. That is, you can predict this and this will happen in this meeting because I will yield. Say on Friday, the power of God made manifest every aspect of the service because I will yield. I will pour out of my spirit the life of God, the power of God into the service. Hallelujah. And your life also follows your words. The more you speak from today till Friday, Friday will be like a tsunami because you have said it before you came. Who is that person who has a pain in his leg, the right, left leg, not left leg? Who is the person? Stand to your feet. Look at me. Just look my direction. Left leg. You are healed. Check it now. Check it now. Can you still feel it? It's gone. Glory to God. Glory to God. It's gone. Have your seat. Now, does it make sense for us to have about 6 people with pain in their left leg? Does it make sense to you? No, let me. Can you guess people can have pain in their left leg? Not right, left leg. You know, pain in leg is fine, isn't it? Left leg, and they're up to 6 people. Imagine if you don't say it. What have you just done? I'm trying to teach you how not to be self-conscious. You have just robbed 6 people of the opportunity to receive healing. That's what you have just done. Think about it. You have not blessed those who need to be blessed with gifts of, what you saw me demonstrate as gifts of healing, with word of knowledge. Okay? Those things are for the church. Say they are for the church. And we're going to see more. We're going to see more. We're going to see more. And the bleeding will stop. And the bleeding will stop. It's become a cause of concern. You become fretful about it. You try to pray, but you didn't receive answer because seemingly you were praying out of anxiety. But now here, the bleeding stops and you're healed and you're set free. Conception also is yours. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Don't worry, the person that answered has received it. Glory to God. So, on Friday, what we want to do is express these things of the Spirit. Every one of us. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 31 as we round up now. I feel like just continuing. Like Friday should start today. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Something about Tuesday and a new appointment. Tuesday and a new appointment. If you can receive it, receive it. Tuesday and a new appointment. Just go ahead and just receive it. A new client, a new job. Tuesday. You can testify on Friday when you come. Because it's going to come to pass. Hallelujah. Yeah. It will come to pass. 31. Is that 31? That's not 31. Can we do that together? I want to go. Can somebody tell me the key word in that verse? Thank you. You guys are intelligent. All is a key word. You may all prophesy, that all may learn, and all may be what? Who is all? Okay. I'm glad you know you are all. You are part of all. So on Friday, we will all prophesy. It didn't say, for the pastors we prophesy. He said, you may all prophesy. Okay? May all prophesy. So, we are getting ourselves set. One of the things we're going to do between now and Friday is that I want every one of us to pray at least 1 hour in the Spirit every day. What are you praying for? Tell yourself you're praying for the meeting. If you're the kind of person that goes to work very, very early, when you're in the bus, honor your breath. Start praying in tongues. Father, I pray concerning Friday meeting. Just start praying in tongues quietly. If you're the kind of person who drives, maybe that's one reason why I enjoy driving alone when I'm traveling. If I'm traveling long distance, I don't drive alone because a lot of times, except the person that's beside me is a believer, they won't understand what I'm doing. But I just pray throughout. I just pray. Maybe 2 hours, I just pray. I enjoy it. Just because I can pray that long, I enjoy doing that. So every day between now and Friday, what should you do? Pray in tongues. What somebody said, what are you doing? You are making your supply of the Spirit available for Friday. We're going to have miracles. We're going to have utterance, revelation. We're going to speak to ourselves. We're going to be comforted, edified, and strengthened. Every one of us. Lift your hands and give him praise this morning. Whoa, stop. Somebody ought to sing. Somebody ought to sing. Who's that person? Somebody ought to sing. Here we go. Somebody ought to sing. Who is the person? Quickly. Okay, you have a song. Stand. Give her the mic, please. For being bold to even stand. Yes, it takes boldness to stand. If you need a boldness, why do you need to stand? Go ahead. They'll follow you.
Karabo Shadatai Kahadi Dao Sars Madito Shei Kadato Sinai Kars Mlusatai Ganamato Sile Kai Leto Shei Kamadosis. We have the light. We have the light. The light is in us. The light of God. We have the light. We have the light. The light is in us. The light of God. Yes, we have the light. We have the light. The light is in you. The light of God. We have the light. We have the light. The light is in us. The light of God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Lovely spiritual song. Were you blessed? Were you blessed? To God. The Spirit testifies, we have the life. We have the light. The light is in us. We have the light. Hallelujah. Say, have the light. The light is in me. I have the light. I seem to have an impression you should sing that song again. Go ahead, just come. I was going to ask somebody else to sing the next verse, actually. But I just sense that you should sing it again. But the person that will sing another part will listen and hear. I'm teaching you how to flow with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Nobody come. I sent the description to you, isn't it? I sent you the description. You're the one I sent the description to. Right. Maxwell? Sorry? How many of you were edified just now? You were edified. Glory to God. Let me ask you a question. Was that difficult? Was that difficult? So we get one person right who has the right song. He opens us up to many things. That's where the Spirit of God functions. Just one person with the right song. Instructions flow forward. Something like assurance just settles upon your heart. You just notice that fear loses its grip. That sense of it may not work just vanishes. You can't feel from the songs that the Father's love is being re-emphasized to your heart. Hallelujah. And we're going to do this all night on Friday. Glory to God. What a marvelous time we're going to have. Invite people. Consciously invite people. Let them come and be blessed. They will be blessed. Things about them will change. These meetings make us. They separate us from those that are outside in the world. Hallelujah. Alright, we'll stop here this morning.